Good morning. I'm Mike Duff, contributing editor to Homepage News, and we are host of the Inspiration Theater. This afternoon, Jack Amati of Prestige Mans is leading our session, Optimizing Social Commerce Best Practices for Starting and Managing a TikTok Shop, and he'll be discussing the integration of shopping with the social media platforms with a focus on TikTok. Since 2020, TikTok has enjoyed a rapid expansion, going a long way toward changing how consumers discover and purchase merchandise. The company's TikTok shop has been a leading the social media selling charge, creating ecosystem where entertainment meets instant transactions. As companies decide how much of their marketing to spend on influencer partnerships, sponsored content, and live shopping events, they should understand that in many ways, TikTok creators are the new storefronts, promoting products and commanding massive viewership that converts directly into sales. And with that, please, Jack. Thank you very much, Mike.
Right, just want to thank everyone for joining me today. It's a great day to be in Chicago talking social commerce. My goal for the presentation in the next 45 minutes or so, for you all to walk away with some actionable steps for the brands you work with or own in terms of launching on TikTok and taking advantage of the social commerce revolution we're seeing happen. So what we're gonna go through today, we have six sections. We'll see if we can get through all of it, hopefully at least the close part. And at the very end, I will have a QR code on screen for you to download slides and some contact info on all time. So starting with number one, what is social commerce? We're defining it and looking at how it's changed the way we shop over time. And then going into section two, TikTok Shop and the numbers behind the massive growth. TikTok Shop in the US opened in September of 2023, and it has totally blown up since then. It's just really a significant event in terms of social commerce. Section three, what makes a product right for TikTok? I will say not everything is ideal for TikTok, but a lot of brands that we talk to have at least a couple products that have visual aspects that are shown on video. That's important on the platform. Building your launch playbook, it's just a few steps that you need to take before you get started. Some pitfalls to avoid as well. There's a lot of time and money that can go into this platform, and it can be very resource intensive. You want to start slow, then you should kind of build your brief concept. Section five, creators, affiliates, and the content niche. As Mike had said a little bit in the introduction, creators are really the new storefront. They're the ones making the content and the videos on TikTok that people are watching and buying from. It is in your best interest to at least build a small group of them and, you know, develop relationships that will drive content going forward. And finally, sales deals, creating urgency. TikTok loves offering coupons and limited time deals. This creates a lot of urgency behind the consumer, feeling that they want to get a good deal. They should buy something as soon as possible. Section one, what is social commerce? It's been this massive fundamental shift in how people go discovering and buying things online. I like to think that COVID really kicked it off when a lot of people were at home. People were making TikToks, people were watching TikToks, and that snowballed more and more into what we see today, which is a massive online marketplace. So shopping used to start with a search, and it still does, don't get me wrong. Amazon is a massive platform. And traditionally, and on Amazon specifically, customers go to the platform with a need. They are going to search for it in the search engine. And from there, they'll compare options to what the search results are and decide on what they are buying. This is buying with intent, given that they are searching the product, and that means that they are trying to find an option to purchase. Whereas on TikTok and social commerce, customers are scrolling for entertainment. They're not necessarily on TikTok to buy something, and that's where the magic comes from. Products can appear organically in their For You page or the feeds that they're scrolling, and they can discover products that they may want or need before they even do. This leads to impulse purchases a lot of the times. TikTok's checkout system is very well put together. It mirrors a lot of Amazon's, meaning that a lot of online customers are already familiar with the checkout process. You can go from discovering a product to buying it in just about three taps. There are really try to make this as frictionless as possible and give customers very little reason for them not to spend money. And so ultimately, the comparison is intent-driven versus discovery-driven. The fact that customers are not necessarily on TikTok to buy things is really, really important. They have a different relationship than Amazon, which is much more transactional. So defining social commerce, the seamless integration of shopping inside the social media apps where customers are discovering, purchasing, and comparing all in one place. Again, like I said, this is a very frictionless experience. You don't want to have to redirect your customer, especially more than once. They're going from different apps, say TikTok to Safari to look at a website and then from there to purchase. And so what we see is in-app checkouts, like I said, no redirects, leading to a lot less abandoned carts. Customers are less likely to leave if they are on the app itself. I believe TikTok also doesn't just wipe your cart for you. If you have added something, it will stay there and you'll keep seeing it. Content being your storefront. As I had said previously, it's very important. Content is king on TikTok. It's a content platform and an entertainment platform, ultimately. You want to make sure that videos that you and your creators are putting out are visually appealing and they weren't viewing. Every video made is a chance to convert a customer into a user into a customer. And finally, creators are becoming your sales team because they're the ones driving the most impactful videos a lot of the time in terms of reach and sales. You need to make sure that your affiliates are directly aligned with your brand. They know benefits, what to talk to, as well as being incentivized. A little bit later into the presentation, also show an incentive structure from one brand. It's a bit extreme, but they offer a lot of money if you're able to hit certain sales goals as a creator. And so people aren't going on TikTok to shop necessarily. A lot of the younger crowd is now that it's become the norm, but it's an entertainment platform first. So that's exactly the point. People are spending an average of 2 hours a day, a two-hour session on TikTok versus 10 minutes on Amazon. Like I said, the relationships between the platforms are totally different. On Amazon, it's fully transactional. You probably know what you're trying to find already and just need to find the best option. On TikTok, you're scrolling for entertainment. Their algorithm is amazing at feeding you content that they think you will like and enjoy because they're able to gauge all of the previous pieces of content that you and reacted to. And 71% of users report discovering cool brands while they scroll. Because this platform is so new, there are a lot of big brands on it. And this leads to a totally different discovery process than originally where on Amazon, just be scrolling there. So why does this matter? On Amazon, users have intent. On TikTok, they do not necessarily. They're in a much more passive and receptive state, meaning that they're open and engaged and more likely to consider purchasing something. They spend 12 times more on the platform, and that leads to your content doesn't really interrupt their experience. You shouldn't see your content and ads necessarily. It is their experience, especially if you work with or you have a team of creators that are putting out entertaining content as well. If you can deliver value and information about your product while also entertaining, it goes very far. That really pushes the virality aspect a lot of the time. And so ultimately, you're not intercepting any demand or distracting people if you are creating. One of the TikTok phenomenons from early, I believe, 2023 to 2024, TikTok made me buy it. This was a trend where people were posting products that they saw someone else talking about and making videos of. And that product happened to do so well in their eyes that they bought it and then continued this flywheel of people talking about the product online and giving it more and more positive reinforcement. So just about half users on the platform have reported buying something and 92% take action after watching a TikTok that's relevant to them. Taking action in regards to looking things up on Google, doing further research, maybe even researching on Amazon and buying from there. And just over a third, 37% buy directly a stream page feed. This is the main page on TikTok, as I'm sure many of you are familiar with. All of the algorithmic content that is fed to you, customized, is delivered on this page. A couple of viral examples. Stanley Tumblr did really well at the beginning of TikTok Shop. They had a ton of viral creator contests. and that led to nationwide stockouts. I think their demand or their momentum may have dropped a little, but they're still going strong. They had a very good launch though. At Glow Recipe, similarly, this is in the beauty category. They totally exploded when a couple of creator tutorials went viral, which a lot of the time beauty content has before and after. That is really important when you're doing video. You're able to show instant results, communicate the product and value immediately to the customer. Section two, TikTok Shop and the numbers. They basically went from $0 to $1 billion per month in 2 years. I will show a breakdown of this. The growth has been absolutely wild. I don't think anyone's seen a platform grow this rapidly that other than maybe, you know, Amazon and a handful of other ones. Platform born in 2023, now a retail powerhouse. Launching in 2023, no one expected what was going to happen. There was only, you know, just under 4,500 shops based in the U.S. that were live. That being said, for the year 2023, they achieved $11 billion in global sales, tripling that in 2024. And going into 2025, I believe the total was just under double 2024. I think it was like 55 to 60 billion. And you can see in the first half of 2025, they did 26. And by July, they were doing over $1 billion a month in the US. The 2026 forecast for the year is over $112 billion in global GMV. This is a massive volume given how little time the platform has been live for. A little more about the size of the opportunity. TikTok boasts a very, very vast user base. 1.6 billion monthly active users around the globe. That's just under 20% of the entire world using the platform. That is a ton of people and even more so demand and opportunity that brands can take advantage of. 170 million users in the US, just under half the United States is on the platform. Not necessarily buying, but at least viewing content. And as of mid-summer last year, we had just under 500,000 U.S. TikTok shops. So to go from 4,500 to 500,000 in under 2 years is a massive growth in terms of sellers. As far as I know, Amazon has, you know, maybe around 2 million live sellers. And for them to be, you know, at basically an order of Amazon's this quickly is truly incredible. 15 million active sellers globally. I'll go through these pretty quick. 70 million products, mass catalog already in the past couple of years, and 70 billion in global GMV says launch. And now their goal here with all of the growth is to get more and more brands. They want people on their platform talking about brands, talking about concepts, and ultimately getting their audience to convert more and more into customers. It's just a quick chart I put together for the US. In 2023, they only launched in September, so they pretty much had a quarter four, did 180 million in sales. Then, you know, that is incredibly impressive given that the platform didn't even have a checkout prior to September. Up to 9 billion in 2024, a almost 5,000% increase year over year, and 17 billion in 2025. Massive growth, like I said, we're projecting around 28 billion for 2026. And we don't expect this growth to stop anytime soon. I think that social commerce is really rapidly becoming the go-to way to sell and find new customers. And TikTok makes it relatively easy to onboard, get started. So who's buying on the platform? A lot of it is younger customers. That being said, they have older segmentations that you can target. 25% of Gen Z on the platform are using TikTok Shop daily. Half of them are using it weekly. I think a lot of people in that age frame are comfortable with the concept and they trust TikTok already. They haven't necessarily had to prove themselves because that they have fast fulfillments and they can follow on the promises of getting the product to the customer. $20 to $50 order values. Now, this is something that I will say it isn't necessarily required, but they absolutely recommend that you should start with cheaper products. A lot of the time, the purchases are on TikTok for impulse buys, meaning that customers don't necessarily have to think about their budget or prepare products and options. they see something and they want it. 58% of all users have made at least one purchase on TikTok Shop, showing that the, you know, more than half the user base is adopting the platform and they, you know, have faith using it in the future. Ages 25 to 34 are definitely the biggest spenders. These are the people out of college with established careers. They have money and they also have familiarity with the platform, given that TikTok is, you know, to some degree facing younger audiences. 81.3% repurchase rates up in February 2024. This is very much old data, but the reason repurchase rates are so high is because TikTok does exceedingly well with consumable content. We're talking health, beauty, supplements, anything that you can consume and then buy more of. Subscriptions are very popular on the platform. They recommend that brands offer at least some small discount, just like on Amazon or anywhere else, in order to entice customers to subscribe and basically have guaranteed sales going forward. And finally, just under 12 million new buyers in the US in 2024 alone. I can guarantee that number is higher in 2025. The audience and user base is rapidly growing. So where's the money being made? I'll do a quick breakdown. Like I said, consumable products definitely do the best. Beauty, personal care, just over a fifth of all sales. The reason for this is that you can show testimonials through TikTok, which people tend to trust, as well as before and after effects, whether it be health, let's say weight loss, or a beauty product that could show the effects rapidly with two images. Women's wear and fashion, I think that apparel is also really, really popular because of this visual aspect. You can see people that you follow wearing clothes, and if you kind of align with them, then you're more likely to look into the brand or purchase the products that they're wearing in the video. Health and supplements, another consumable. We're talking wellness routines and transformation content. Wellness routines like getting up in the morning, taking, let's say, hydration supplements, protein, and everything else, and showing that product stack off to your audience and explaining why it, you know, helps or changes your life. And then transformations, whether it's weight loss, getting in shape, things of that nature, very effective when it comes to communicating a concept to a customer or potential customer that. And then home and kitchen and electronics, definitely not as massive on the platform. There are still brands that, you know, I would say are killing it, doing very well with creators, especially for home things like vacuum cleaners and appliances. You can show before and after demos, whether you are making food or cleaning something up, you can deliver a fast visual payoff to the customer. And electronics, office products, work products, utility products, showing off, does this work? Does it make a meaningful impact in the way that I do things? And ideally that goes to, you know, your audience that corresponds with working or utility. Section three, what makes a product right for TikTok? I will say not everything belongs on TikTok. That being said, there are people that sell things as expensive as tiny homes and mobile homes on the platform. We definitely recommend brands to start with cheaper products, especially if you're going to be doing things like giving out samples or giving significant discounts. You want to be able to not necessarily lose a lot of margin, especially on an expensive product in terms of getting out there. So what products went on TikTok? Things with visual transformations, as I had mentioned, you want to show before and afters. So that is a big part of video. If you can show before and after in under 10 seconds, you definitely efficiently communicated the concept to the customer. That makes them more and more likely to buy. Things like skin clearing up, surfaces being clean, messes disappearing, the payoff is immediate and visible. That's very important given that, unfortunately, consumers, and especially ones on TikTok, don't have the longest attention spans. So you want to make sure that you are using their time as efficiently as possible. Solving a clear pain, something that the viewer recognizes immediately. Let's say like a high-end vacuum cleaning up a mess. Everyone has messes at home and they have reason to clean them. You don't need to explain it in the video whatsoever. They see it, think, I know what that is and I can, you know, use that. Not describing it, talking to people on video is as nearly as effective as showing them. Your product's value is undeniable if you're able to demonstrate it in under 10 seconds. a lot of the time you only have 1 to 2 seconds to really hook someone while they're scrolling to pay attention to your video, or they'll just go right past onto the next piece of content. So building those hooks and then quick demonstrations into a concise short form video is absolutely essential. And like I said, under $50 price point, this is not a requirement necessarily. It's good to start with. You don't expose yourself to as much risk when you're selling high-end products. That being said, there is several American appliance brands that are very well on the platform. The top one I won't name, but I'm sure some of you probably know, they are doing really well in terms of kitchen and home and leveraging creators to build compelling offers accordingly in their videos. That being said, if you're selling under $50, you're more than likely going to have a product that is easy to buy. They don't have to make much comparison or decision. They're not going to bring their bank when they're buying it, and there's not much risk. So things that struggle on TikTok, we're really talking generic products. Things like clothes hangers or basic office supplies. Products in which it is difficult to evoke emotions in the customer. They have no reason to really see you differently if you're selling a generic commodity. That's just kind of how it is. Now, that being said, you could sell custom clothes hangers and present them really well. That would, you know, differentiate yourself. But that differentiation is absolutely essential on the platform if there are other brands, companies selling what you sell. Complex value propositions. Like I said, you really only have 10 seconds to get your point across. Ideally, if you need to explain it, you're probably not going to hook someone in. Like, you know, people tend to not have much time when they're scrolling or learning new concepts that are really, really complex. The product needs to be able to be communicated instantly. And high price points, which push consumers into consideration mode, a lot of the times, this kind of goes against what I just said. People definitely buy expensive products on the platform, but a lot of the time, something more than $100 is a high consideration product. They're going to lean TikTok and go to Google or Amazon, the big search engines, and they're going to compare it by from there, most likely. That you probably lose a sale to a competitor. So ultimately, the strategy should be not launching your full catalog immediately. Pick your top SKUs, ideally not most expensive ones either, and get them listed first. You can give out some free samples to creators, potentially. You can make content with your team as well, get the momentum, and expand there. TikTok also rewards, similar to Amazon, the adding of products to your catalog. They want to see brands increasing their catalog over time and launch more products. The dynamic catalog is definitely more valuable than one that doesn't necessarily add products very consistently. So going into a bit more about what makes a product right for TikTok and makes it TikTokable, as some people say, one master listing beats 10 separate listings. Ultimately, you want to have all of your variations on one listing when you're building out your offers. That way, your customers have all of their options in front of them immediately. I have a case study at the bottom. You can look up Built Bar. They're one of the top protein bars on the platform. Originally, all of their listings were separate. They have 22 separate flavors, meaning that when you would open a listing, you wouldn't see any of the other options or sizes that they had. That led to a lot of content going down. When you have your top seller on an individual listing and it goes out of stock, it is no longer able to be found via links, search results, or creators and affiliates, which is really unfortunate because that means that you are losing out on a lot of views until you go back in stock. Whereas having one master listing fixes a lot of these issues. You can have your consistent content strategy for all your variations, meaning that the images you deliver are concise and consistent. Affiliates are being driven to a single listing, meaning that all of the commissions you're managing and all of the affiliate onboarding you're doing is managed through a single listing and not, you know, 22 like Built Bar had. I can only imagine the amount of effort required to do comparison. You also unify your ads budget and promotions. By having them all together, you can see that, you know, one listing is doing better. It takes some of the ad spend and adjusts those things accordingly so you don't have these large discrepancies of variations being advertised. Whereas if they're all individual, those things need to be managed individually. And like I mentioned in the case study, if you're going out of stock on one variation, all of your other listings are still live, meaning that that parent listing, that one large listing is still live. As far as I know, it would take every variation to go out of stock for the listing to go down, meaning that, you know, that's very unlikely in terms of demand. As long as you can keep one listing up on the parent, you will have all of that content accessible and viewable on the cloud. And customers discover more and stack their carts, increasing their average order values. Buildmore, especially if you go onto their listing, you see maybe 24 flavors or so. And that leads customers to try a lot more than they would if they had to individually go back and forth to the offers. All right, section 4, building your launch playbook. Second here. Setting up your brand on TikTok, what your offer stack should look like, and pitfalls that can kill your momentum before you start. So this is definitely not Amazon. Do not make like an Amazon seller. That being said, you want beautiful listings just like on Amazon, but the way you go about selling isn't just that. On Amazon, users are arriving with intent. As I mentioned in the first few slides, they are searching for things that they want. Whereas on TikTok, you are creating the intent. A customer is scrolling through the platform for entertainment, watching videos that they like and enjoy, and TikTok delivers your content to them organically or through sponsored postings, which encourages them to buy more just compared to people on Amazon that are operating with intent only and comparing products. So on Amazon, the product page is the storefront, whereas TikTok and every video is the storefront. TikTok is amazing because you can have thousands, even millions of videos, pieces of content. And on Amazon, you can only have one product page. The ability to continuously push content is really what makes it effective. So on Amazon, keywords are drive the discovery. It's a search engine. You're pretty much typing in what you want and looking for it. On TikTok, the creators and the content are driving it because users are scrolling through the platform and naturally coming across videos that pique their interest. So Amazon's process is search, find, buy, very, very transactional, meaning that customers tend not to have a deep relationship with Amazon. It's not like they're using it for entertainment. It's really just a utility. Compared to TikTok, you are scrolling, discovering, and buying impulsively. This allows for a lot more purchasing to be done because less comparisons are made, and the users are also in much more of a passive state given that they're scrolling for entertainment. So you really only have 1 to 2 seconds to grab people's attention while they're scrolling. The problem with short form content is that all of our attention spans are rapidly dwindling. You need to give them a hook and a reason to pay attention as fast as possible. Something like, let's say if we're selling vacuum cleaners, we would say, "Is your house extremely dirty? I totally changed my house with this product." Building those hooks is essential. It allows your audience to get drawn in much more efficiently. A few non-negotiables before you go live. We recommend these to all the brands we work with. Make sure your Seller Center account is up and approved and verified, meaning that you've uploaded all of your business documentation. Everything is correct. You have your compliance records if necessary. We work with some food brands that requires a little bit of compliance. Number 2, master listing structure built. Like the built bar example, you want to have all of your variations consolidated as much as possible, not on individual SKUs. From a management perspective, in terms of content promotions and everything else, you absolutely want to have them unified. Product images, titles, and descriptions optimized for mobile. Just like on Amazon, the majority of customers are on their phones. I would say much higher percentage, actually, given that TikTok is really a mobile app for the most part, whereas Amazon has desktop and everything else. Making sure that when you zoom in on a phone, your products look high resolution, having short, concise titles that communicate what it is really quickly, and same thing for the description. You don't want to have a wall of text. It's really unattractive when it comes to scrolling on a phone. Free shipping enabled. You know, thanks to Amazon, we pretty much have this expectation that shipping is included in the price. If it's possible, factor that into your retail price. That's what we do. It's pretty much essential from what we've seen. You don't want to charge shipping. That's another step in the checkout process and adds some amount of friction and objections. especially when Amazon has set the status quo of free shipping on it. Having at least one product discount or flash sale configured and ready to go at the time of launch. Product discounts can be coupons. When you tap on a listing, you'll scroll down and the customers have a list of coupons available to them, both offered through TikTok themselves, which is great, and through the brand. You can set those up accordingly. Flash sales as well on the listings, sure some of you are familiar with. There's a relatively large red timer, and that indicates a flash sale is running out. So that creates a lot of urgency from a consumer's perspective that they want to get the best deal possible. These are effective year-round, but you really, really see a boost in Black Friday, Cyber Monday, especially when people are hunting for deals. Clickable coupons loaded. You want to make sure that you have those and minimum purchase requirements. You don't want consumers to be able to use the coupon over and over. You also want to make sure that if they are getting a coupon discount, they are buying some amount of product. So let's say $30, $20, whatever you want it to be for it to work for your brand. It could even be $100 given that you have an expensive product line. Enrolling in fulfillment by TikTok, FBT, very similar to Amazon's FBA. If some of you are familiar, fulfillment by Amazon, they basically have TikTok warehouses where you can ship product, and they can guarantee 2 to 3 day shipping. This earns you a badge on TikTok, similar to the Prime badge on Amazon. Really impactful, especially when you're competing on a platform with other brands in your category. You need to give customers as many reasons as possible to go with you as the option. Have your first batch of creator samples ordered and ready to go. As long as what you're selling is reasonably affordable cost-wise, it should definitely be expected that you're gonna give out pre-samples. That's kind of how brands, especially brands that are just onboarded onto the platform, create relationships with creators. They are constantly bombarded, especially the top ones, with thousands of options of brands to work with. You have to give them a real reason for them to want to, and that includes, you know, free products, and hopefully it's of high enough quality and convinces them to start creating content around it. Brand TikTok page is active with 3 to 5 organic posts before you launch. If possible, take some content from elsewhere or make some new content, whether it's from your website or other social medias. 3 to 5 posts on your brand page allows consumers to go there and see a little bit about what you're about before they buy the product. This is huge in terms of validating your authenticity on the platform. People like to buy from other people, not necessarily large brands or corporations. They like to see your face. And number 10, finally, TikTok's Ad Manager being connected to Seller Center. These are two separate platforms technically, but you can connect them, and that way you're able to push ads and sponsor content through your videos. This doesn't have much to do with affiliates necessarily, but pushing ads is absolutely essential, especially when you set up your affiliate program and linking ads to the affiliate content. The offer stack, creating urgency. I've mentioned urgency a few times at this point. You want to make people buy as soon as possible, especially with things like flash sales and discounts. So ultimately, we want to have free shipping guaranteed. Pretty much every buyer expects it. Amazon has done a really good job at making that a reality. Build this into your price. A lot of the times, TikTok has competitive shipping rates. You can get free rates from them and free estimates relatively easily and factor that into your cost. Using the free shipping thresholds, you can get people to buy more as well. Just like on Amazon, TikTok promotes, you know, say spend a minimum of $30 for free shipping. And if you are selling less than $30 products, you'll be required to buy more than one, and that increases your average order value. And, you know, it's ultimately beneficial for the seller. Flash sales, product discounts, creating strike-through pricing. This is a very impactful visual cue. If you have your normal retail price struck through because you're showing a deal, this requires a minimum of 11% off for flash sales. If you can give at least 11%, you will have that strike-through and the big red timer text on the listing, giving people the sense of urgency to buy before the time comes out. The problem with this does affect your 30-day price floor. TikTok constantly tracks what price you're selling at. It's really important to be mindful of your 30-day price floor. You can't offer discounts below this price floor, which can be problematic. You never want to lower your listings manually. That automatically drops the price floor, but if you want to revert it back and offer a discount in the future, or at least in the next 30 days, TikTok is going to come back and say, hey, listen, you dropped this price yourself. This is really a deal from the customer's perspective, which makes sense. Clickable coupons as well. Like I said, this is in the section of your listing where you can see your TikTok and brand coupons. Customers have to claim this just like Amazon, and a lot of the time they won't necessarily remember to. That's fine, you still get your purchase, but you can also increase the reasons and urgency for someone to buy. You can use heavy discounts with coupons, which is great because this doesn't affect your floor price. As long as it is consistent, you can give, you know, pretty much whatever percent off you want, especially we see brands doing PE discounts during Black Friday, Cyber Monday. And just like on free shipping, you want to add your minimum purchase requirements to increase your order values. This way, you're giving customers a good deal while simultaneously requiring them to buy a little more than the bare minimum. And TikTok Shop ad campaigns, TikTok Shop campaigns. TikTok themselves runs campaigns every month, unlike Amazon, where they have Prime Day 2 times a year. Enrolling in these campaigns means that you're getting special badges on the platform and getting algorithmic boosts. Algorithmic boost meaning that when you are enrolled, you are being delivered more and more to customers because they see that you are participating in the promotion period. You always want to make sure that you read fine print before enrolling. Sometimes these campaigns can affect things like your 30-day price floor or require a large amount of spend in terms of advertising. A few things to watch out to. The price trap, especially, you don't want to drop your listing price too low. You want to add coupons and discounts, not, you know, just reprice the listing. That really messes with the 30-day floor price, affects your ability to offer discounts going forward. Make sure you're not stocking out as well as much as possible. Just like on Amazon, you take a real ranking hit when it comes to your listings. If you go out of stock, no one is able to find your listings until you come back, meaning that all of your content that's linked, whether it's affiliates, organic postings, ads you're running, will not link to the product. It will just be dark. You want to monitor this as obsessively as you can afford to. And use master listings, which track all of your variations inventory together at once. Reading campaigns fine print when TikTok has events. You don't want to mass enroll into TikTok campaigns without reading them. You can get trapped at long discounts for multiple weeks or, you know, significant discounts for up to 60 days. Misclicks here cost a ton of margin for you as you, you know, if the campaign is required to go for a month or two, you aren't able to necessarily opt out. And having too many separate listings, you want to merge and unify as many of your products as possible. That way, from a management perspective and delivering consistent content, you are able to own everything. If you're spread too thin, you lose momentum, and it is certainly can be problematic. Section 5, creators, affiliates, and the content engine. Getting more into partnerships on the platform. And like we said in the beginning, the creators really, really drive the content. It's not that you can't say brands themselves don't create viral content. They absolutely do, and they have teams dedicated to this. But the creators themselves are the ones with the audiences that are following them for a certain reason. And ideally, they're partnering with brands that align with their audience's outlook. Say someone in the outdoor and survival category doing a sponsorship with the end brand, something of that nature. Your creators are your sales team, and your content is your storefront. So you need to treat your creators like they are sales reps and like they are partners for the company. There are well over 100,000 active affiliates on the platform already. This actually might be a little too old, given that how rapidly the platform's growing. 5.5% of affiliates' links get engagement, meaning that just over 1 in 20 people click on an affiliate link. That is way, way higher than other platforms like Instagram. I think that TikTok has done such a good job of efficiently entertaining its customers that they're more willing to trust them from an affiliate perspective. And just about 60% of U.S. TikTok shop GMV comes from shorthand. TikTok does allow longer form content. I mean, I've seen, I believe, like hour-long videos on there. But the, you know, 15 to 30-second clips where you can give an entire overview all at once, really, really beneficial. That's what drives most of the sales. And $5.4 billion in GMV driven by creators in 2024. That's a lot of commission. That's all I'll say. So why has TikTok changed everything? Before, influencers were really transactional. They would get paid to post, and you weren't necessarily able to attribute their results correctly. I mean, you can use links, but sometimes people go off platform and get redirected, and that messes with performance tracking. Whereas on TikTok, they are very, very good at tracking. Creators are pretty much every time that their video drives a sale, and the algorithm learns from that. Their incentive is perfectly aligned with yours, especially if you have given them some amount of content or guidelines around the videos to create. That's what we recommend. You're not necessarily creating a script for them. That would be way too, you know, inauthentic from our point of view, but having them know, you know, some of the problems that your product solves quickly and the main benefits gives them a lot to talk about. So not all creators are created equal. There are small, medium, and large creators, ones with hundreds of followers to millions. What we see, though, is the smaller creators tend to have a lot more loyal audiences because they follow them for a niche reason. Whereas the largest creators, yes, they boast massive followings and create a ton of demand. They don't necessarily see as high engagement rates. That is just kind of the way it is, given volume. So going through these really quickly, we're looking at nano and micro influencers, anywhere from 1,000 to 100,000 followers. These are great to work with. A lot of the times you can onboard them with just a free sample, assuming your product is good quality and worthwhile. You're not going to have to pay them a very large retainer or worry about, you know, ongoing costs in the future other than commissions. These tend to have the highest engagement rates, like I mentioned. Their audiences are a lot more niche. It would be following someone with 1,000 followers if it was relevant to you necessarily. And they have a lot more trust with their audience, given that the smaller creators, you know, they tend to give off a little bit more authenticity, given that they're so much smaller. These are best for building volume really quickly. We have a brand we worked with that has given out, I think, 500 samples a month for the past year, and they have pumped out a ton of content with affiliates. And now some of those top ones they have on retainer and are paying them extra commission in order to get them to keep driving demand. So the strategy with small influencers ultimately should be giving free product and some amount of commission. Average commissions on the platform are probably 10 to 20%. There are certainly higher than that, especially with new brands, new product launches, but that's what we see most of the time. Going over to mid-tier influencers, medium size, 100,000 to a million followers, you're most likely going to be having to pay them a retainer and a pretty hefty commission. These, similar to the large influencers and celebrities, these ones are still getting tons of contact from brands every day. They are choosing which ones to go with, which ones are the best, and which ones will treat them the best. They have a broad reach paired with the niche authority, so they could be just coming from the small or, you know, nano or macro influencer state and building into a larger one. You will see pretty good engagement rates with them most of the time. Best for scaling proven content angles. Let's say you start with 100 small creators. If that works well, you could go into, you know, 5 to 10 mid-sized ones if that works financially. And so your strategy here is a retainer plus a relatively hefty commission once your return on investment is through. Right, just doing a little more into larger influencers and celebrities, people with well over a million followers. They are relatively expensive to work with. We're talking high retainers in the thousands of dollars, several thousand dollars at least. A lot better for brand awareness than conversion necessarily. The problem with large, you know, accounts is that one post can do anything. The algorithm might love it. The algorithm might not even pick it up at all. And if you spend, you know, $5,000 on a post and it gets 10,000 views, that's less than ideal. No one's going to be happy on this. But that being said, they are the ones that generate most viral views for sure. And one viral video can generate millions of dollars overnight. This is a good problem to have, but an expensive one as well. So, which is the reason why you want to work your way through working with, you know, small media and then getting into larger influencers. Definitely the best for huge brands that are launching onto the platform, companies that are already established, product launches and campaign events, things with very large marketing budgets. So a strategy here would be a performance deal with a contract and the clear content guardrails, telling the creator what to and not to talk about. It looks like I got around 30 seconds left, but I'll go into a little bit on fees, moving away from flat fees for creators, embracing performance. Retainers were definitely the way to go. Payment per post was definitely the way to go a few years ago. And I think with TikTok and the commission concept, we've seen a lot more adoption of commissions, which means that you can pay people on performance and not necessarily placing a bet on them to some degree. Your creators' incentives, the old model was post one and done, meaning that they would post and get paid. Now they have to post repeatedly because they earn more based on the commissions than the posts gaining traffic and views. Previously, there was very little alignment between the brand and the creator. Yes, you would give your creators a script on what to say for an expensive video. But that being said, when they only make one video, they tend not to know your brand so well. If they can do it over time, they will become more and more aligned with your outlook, your brand's outlook and the ideal consumer audience that they're looking for, which means everyone wins. My time is up, unfortunately, but we will take questions.
Thank you. Anyone in the audience have some questions? Hold on a second, so I can get you to work a couple of minutes.
I came a little bit late, so if you covered this, sorry.
No worries.
We've obviously talked all about TikTok Shop, but didn't say much about live shopping platform. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, absolutely. It's incredibly impactful. I have a couple slides at the end if you want to fast forward the QR code so you can download it, look through it. Live shopping is huge. It is, as far as I know, close to $500 billion industry in China. And they are so advanced that a lot of the time you can see the trends happening in China before they even make it to the US. Love that that's a thing. It really helps from a data and analytics perspective. I think that live creators are essential. Off the top of my head, one of the largest supplement brands, you guys are familiar, Marigruz Organics. They stream 24/7. They have three, as far as I know, they have three employees, each work 8-hour shifts to make sure that every time someone goes from an affiliate link to the Marigruz webpage or TikTok page, they see this big red live logo at the top. There's someone ready to talk to and engage with the customer through the chat. And you have to make sure that whoever's on your live is outgoing, they know a lot about your product and they're energetic. That way they can keep momentum going in terms of people talking in the chat, offering exclusive deals while live and things of that nature. Yeah, very, very important. I'm sorry I didn't get into that part.
I have two quick questions. So the first question is, do you happen to know what percentage of people that receive an impression or that have engaged with TikTok Shop ad are actually going to Amazon to either ultimately make that purchase or at some point?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to say it's around 1 in 5 is the data that I've heard in the industry. They call this the halo effect, where your brand on Amazon will gain this relatively significant boost in demand and sales, given that a TikTok Shop video either goes viral or your brand has, you know, grown views more and more over time. Yeah, definitely exists.
Right. And so that leads into my second question, because I've found that TikTok Shop advertising isn't an ROI base. It's a feeder platform to potentially other point of sale platforms. So I'm wondering, we've said that hundreds of products and different creators, a lot of those requests sit and for newer advertisers or, advertisers that have very deep marketing pockets, are you approached incentivizing these creators if you're not getting a lot of traction at 10 or 20 or even 30% commissions? Is there any methodology to that?
Yeah, absolutely. So what I will say is that TikTok does date people when they don't make videos and they request free samples. It's not just a marketplace for free stuff. It might have been in the beginning, but definitely not anymore. In terms of defining a clear ROI, it's definitely tough. Off the top of my head, I probably won't be able to go into too much detail here, but I definitely think there is ways to get in front of creators that aren't just sending them samples and offering them large commissions. There's things like the TikTok shop events that they host. You can get in front of creators really quickly, as well as trying to, there's a ton of creator agencies. I don't know if you've worked with any. That's an option that we've worked with in the past in terms of trying to define ROI rather than giving out samples willing on spend.
Have any other questions? Competently ask you, so you talk about master and vary.
Yes.
Could you define those? Because I think I know what you mean, but I'm not certain.
Yes, so a master variant is a main product listing, just like on Amazon. We run a tea company, so I'll use a tea example. If you have a large tea listing, you have maybe 20 to 30 flavors and small or different quantities and sizing based on those flavors. So by having the master variant, you have everything on one page, meaning that when you tap on it, you see all of the options at once, rather than having to go listing by listing, which is not really ideal for consumers to make decisions.
And also give you from the data size.
Yes, exactly. Right. Exciting.
Hi, hello. I have the last question. What about the moderation? It is really relevant. We have to, should we have an internal team for that, the moderation?
Like content moderation, like what's being put out? Yeah, absolutely. You need to give guidelines to the creators you're working with, especially if you're selling health and beauty or supplements. Cannot be making, medical claims or anything of that nature. That won't necessarily hurt the brand or the number of the creator, but you want to make sure that everyone who's putting out content is aligned with your views and compliant as well. So yes, it's definitely important to have some amount of moderation.
So I think that's all the time we have, but we said thank you for the presentation.
Thank you all.
And thank you for coming.
I'll forward to the very end. Ooh, that's not it. You can scan the QR code and get contacted with most slides or anything you need.
Thanks, Peter. But
yeah, absolutely.
Fun.
Great.
Yeah,
so that's all the time for Peter and about.
Yeah,
and when I put that woman, he likes on his balls and then his own mics. Those are thanks. All right, thanks.
Yep. Hey, you got that. The three bigger.
Well,
like you said,
like me,
that's it. Like, I mean, yes, the curly tails.
The quiet still, but easier,
like. Enough to make the sewer by the nothing by the three pop the Moloch.
Got it, speaking.
See, set this food. But that piece of that is
so when you come there, the time it has a lot.
Two,
right?
Two times we start like such.